My guest at this time is Iowa Republican Congressman Steve King. He's a Republican representing the Hawkeye State's 4th Congressional District and was just reelected by the folks in Western Iowa to another term by a wide margin. He is also a member of the House Judiciary Committee. He's been a very strong voice against the idea of amnesty for illegal immigrants in this country. And the president, of course, has indicated that he is ready to act unilaterally to legalize perhaps as many as 6 million people. The reports we're getting is that it would mainly focus on parents of children who are either citizens or legal in some way. And we want to talk to him about that as well as what the likely Republican strategy to combat that is. And Congressman, it's always good to have you, sir. Thank you.
Good to be back, Greg. Thank you.
Well, there's a 10-point plan that was kind of leaked to the media a number of days ago. Some of it has to do with relaxing visas for high-tech specialists. Others have to do with a pay raise for ICE and border security personnel. But the one getting all the attention, of course, is the president unilaterally granting legal status to potentially as many as 6 million people when you factor in the Dreamers who have just been legalized by the president's own hand in the past couple of years. So what's your reaction to this? And for those who aren't sure whether he has the legal authority to do this, what do you tell them?
Well, of course, he does not have legal authority to do this, and he didn't have the legal authority to issue the DACA memo or the one that put it in quotes when you say legalize, the Dreamers. And he didn't have the legal authority to do the Morton memos, which essentially waive prosecution for those whom the president considers not to be a violent threat to society. And so, you know, where we sit now, the president has been making a promise for months, at least as far back as June and July. And he's been getting a little bit of a reprieve on the timing of it all along the way. But, you know, the president has a very long string of broken promises. But this, I think, is going to be the promise he actually keeps. And he is poised to violate the Constitution and create his own immigration law out of thin air. He has no constitutional authority to do this. The immigration policy, not only is Article 1 set aside all legislative powers to the United States Congress, but also an enumerated power is to provide a uniform rule of naturalization. And that's the Congress's authority, and there are multiple court cases that identify that as Congress sets immigration policy. We have existing laws that he's refusing to enforce. He's turning people, felons, loose out of our jails on a continual basis, and it looks like if he's going to try to, quote, legalize, close quote, 5 to 6 or more million people, that's that many genies out of the bottle as far as the president is concerned, and he thinks that they are, a high percentage of them are just undocumented Democrats, and next phase would be to try to document them so that they can vote. This is a constitutional crisis that is hanging over our heads like the sword of Damocles today. And Congress must block this president. It is our duty to do so. And the timing of his act is going to dictate to some degree our response.
Congressman, we'll get into that strategy in just a moment. Some of the president's defenders, however, sir, say that, look, other presidents have postponed or canceled deportation for folks who should be removed from the country. So even though the president is obviously doing this on a much larger scale than any of his predecessors in terms of a unilateral approach, it's not unprecedented, and he does have this power. Obviously, you've explained why you believe that is not the case. What parallel is there, and how do you combat the argument that others have done this? Were they wrong to do it, or is what the president proposing vastly different than what they did?
Well, what I recall is Ronald Reagan signing the Amnesty Act of 1986. He called it the Amnesty Act. He was honest about it. He was open about it. He deliberated on it, and he signed it, and then he regretted it. But it started us down this path of the effort to seek to restore the rule of law, at least with regard to immigration. I knew in 86, and some of the people said, well, but Republicans didn't complain in 86 when Reagan signed the Amnesty Act. I did. I remember where I was standing when I got that news. I had every confidence that Ronald Reagan would recognize the huge mistake and the flaw in the rationale that you can trade amnesty for enforcement from that point forward. We never got the enforcement. The amnesty went from 1 million to 3 million. It was triple the amount that was estimated. Ronald Reagan recanted on that vote and regretted that, or that signature on the Amnesty Act. As far as other presidents using executive orders to address immigration, nowhere near the scope of this. The president has authority to manage asylum and to manage refugee status. And that target of refugee status is something like 75,000 a year. Nowhere near, and there are some tighter lines that are drawn from there, but nowhere near the 5 to 6, or maybe if you multiply that times 3 million that we would end up with. I don't think there's any comparable precedent anywhere. The president knows he has no authority to do this. He's said so on multiple occasions. It's just his political expediency. And, you know, remember when the president said, well, if you want to run the country, win an election? Well, we as Republicans won a huge election, and the president is simply defiant. He's not shown any signs that he's willing to work with this Congress. What he's poised to do is step up in front of a press conference someday in the future, near future, take the Constitution, separate out Article 1, the legislative authority, all of the things that set up the United States Congress, look at us all and tear Article 1 out of the Constitution, fold it in half, put it in his shirt pocket, and say, I'm also the legislative branch of government. That's what he's doing. This constitutional republic cannot survive if we have a president who is going to defy the Constitution and his own oath to it. And every member of Congress takes an oath to uphold the Constitution, House and Senate. We have a duty, too, and that duty is to defend the Constitution. And when you do so, it isn't about calculating the political expediency or the policy. It's about the Constitution itself and the Constitution only.
Congressman, a few minutes left here. Let's get to a couple of questions on strategy now. Obviously, the immigration debate has been one that's been difficult inside your own party over the past few years, but it seems like just about everybody is absolutely staunchly opposed to the president doing this on his own, largely for the reasons you've already outlined in this conversation. So in the conference meetings that you've had since the elections, just how committed is the party to making sure that he doesn't get away with this?
Well, among the rank and file here in the House, we're very well committed. The people that are favorable towards some type of accommodation to those that are here illegally reject the idea that the president is going to write this policy with his own pen, that go around Congress. So I think we're really solid. Those on the Republican side that would give the president a pass for usurping constitutional authority are very, very few. But how far are they willing to go to block this president? And we've had some leadership say that there's not going to be a government shutdown. I don't know how they can declare that. I mean, it was the president that shut the government down a little over a year ago, so they can't make a promise that the president would be in charge of keeping. And by the way, while we're at that, this part of the discussion, you know, the president is holding a right hostage to an ultimatum. We have a right to secure borders, a right to expect and demand that our president enforce the law, but he's giving us an ultimatum. Congress can either pass amnesty or he's going to commit it by a constitutional violation. So that's where things sit. I think that we can't take cutting off funding off the table, and it's about the equivalent of saying in the fight against ISIS that there will be no boots on the ground. Republicans should not make those same kind of mistakes that the president has made in his in messaging to ISIS. And so that means that we should use all the constitutional means at our disposal. I want to do the minimum possible to restore the Constitution. That might be cutting off the funding, and it could be effective. Another one that we might have to do is censure the president. That's happened once before in the history of this country. That doesn't take us down the full route that Bill Clinton experienced, and that would be the last resort, not one that I favor at all. But I just hope the president comes to his senses and has an attack of conscience and decides that this is an imprudent thing to do to our country.
As you mentioned, sir, the leaders in your party in both the House and Senate have said they do not want a showdown over the continuing resolution, but at the same time they said they're absolutely committed to making sure the president does not change immigration policy by himself. And so they say there are a lot of ideas that they're kicking around right now. What are you privy to? What other ideas besides dealing with the funding and perhaps censure, as you suggested, are being considered right now?
Well, I've listened to some of those proposals, and I wasn't particularly moved by them. One of them was to pass an omnibus spending bill and fund the government out till September 30th, the end of the fiscal year, under the terms that have been negotiated with Harry Reid in the Senate. that would give all the funding to the president and would take away our tool to restrain him by cutting off the funding to implement or enforce his unconstitutional act. We were reminded that we have the tool called rescission, which is after a bill is money is appropriated, we can go in and claw it back, so to speak. But that proposal overlooked the idea that a rescissions bill would have to have a presidential signature or a veto override. And the president, if we're going to cut off his funding to implement his executive amnesty and try to claw the money back in a rescissions bill, I'm very confident he would veto the bill. And either in the House or the Senate, we'd fall short of the two-thirds necessary to override his veto. So I don't see that as an effective option. I think that we can, though, appropriate funds to most of government that's not immigration-related, hold back the appropriation bills on those that are immigration-related. And I have a bill that I've drafted several months ago that it's a bill that self-enacts. And what it does, if the president violates the Constitution or issues a policy that reduces immigration enforcement, it requires that he certify that it's constitutional and that it doesn't diminish enforcement. Otherwise, it automatically shuts off the funding, not only for his policy going forward, but retroactively back to the DACA component and the Morton memos that are part of the beginning of this immigration constitutional crisis that the president's been continually pushing us into.
Congressman, last 30 seconds. So you've explained very well what you want to see happen, what you think could happen here. Assuming the president does come forward with something close to what we saw in this 10-point plan, 60 days from now, 90 days from now, where do you realistically think we're going to be with policy and the congressional response?
Well, I don't know that I can see through that crystal ball, except if I just play it through a step at a time. I don't think the president will act till after the special election in Louisiana, after the December 11th, the witching hour at midnight when the government shuts down if we don't continue the funding. So I think he will push this thing up to the brink, and there'll be some kind of an accommodation to keep the government open. Let's just say the president gets an omnibus spending bill, and but carving out the immigration components of this, DHS and Justice, for a short-term CR, I think then he pulls the trigger on his executive amnesty. And at that point, if he does so a couple of days before Christmas, he will think that there won't be repercussions until next year, in which place the intensity will tone down. I think America will react immediately and viscerally to any kind of action by the president. And I think there will be some people come to Washington and this time go to the White House rather than the Capitol.
Well, we'll certainly be following along, and we look forward to checking back in with you as events warrant. Thank you, sir, very much as always for your time.
We're good to talk to you. Thanks so much, Greg.
Thank you, sir. Iowa Republican Congressman Steve King represents his state's 4th Congressional District. Iowa Republican Congressman Steve King represents his state's 4th Congressional District, member of the House Judiciary Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.